Gospel chapter 11, we have been teaching prayer by precept and by example. How many of you have gotten blessed so far on this series? Let me see your hand. If you prayer by precept and by example. Luke's Gospel chapter 11, we said Jesus was praying. It came to pass that was one, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Said, teach us to pray. So there's a teaching to pray. Now look at two things. They saw him pray, and then they said, teach us to pray. In other words, prayer is by precept, that's by teaching, and also by example. There's a teaching to prayer, and there are also examples to prayer. Sometimes we hear a lot about teaching of prayer, but we don't even see the people who pray. So I mustn't just hear you teach about prayer, I must also see you pray. Prayer is by precept, and then by example. So teach us as John taught his disciples. And we said that the word disciples is from the word apprentice. Somebody who is learning by theory and then by practical things. So the true thing, the true fact is that if you have a pastor or a mentor or a teacher, it mustn't just teach you on the pulpit, okay? It must also see to it that you put to practice what he is teaching you. And I know some folks, for instance, and this is, by the way, they appreciate coming to Saints Community Church to hear the word, but they don't get involved in the ministry of the church. But you see, if you hear the word on Sundays, on Wednesdays, on Thursdays, or Tuesdays, when you're fellowship meetings, and you do not participate in things like prayer meetings, outreaches, you're not actually putting into practice anything you're taught. And the truth is, you are not actually growing. You've got to not just understand doctrine, you've got to also practice doctrine. You're not growing. No matter what you understand about who you are in Christ and how you can approach the Father in confidence, don't forget, 1 John 5:40 says, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we teach anything in prayer according to His will, He hears us. No, we're going to pray if we ask. So you must have been praying. So it's not good enough to know about prayer and not be praying. Hallelujah. So you cannot get the benefit of a church, a local church, if you are not receiving ministry and then being part of ministry in the local church. I shared this in the first service. I've been through a few churches in my life. And this is the last one. I've never been in any church as a member without joining the prayer department. Now, I don't believe a church should have a prayer department. It doesn't mean it's wrong. Why I don't believe it is because prayer is the ministry of every Christian. Okay? There's no skill to prayer. There's no talent to prayer. It's a ministry from Jesus. You go pray. So the whole church must be praying. But anyway, when I joined church and they had prayer departments, I always joined the prayer department because I believe that is where you know the true test of a Christian who is growing spiritually. So it's not just good enough to hear the word and hear about the great things about who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and then you refuse to be involved in the ministry that is in Christ. You know, we say, Saints Community Church, remember, if you look at what we call our mission statement, we say, we teach the believer, you know, about Jesus Christ, what he has in Christ, then he receives, not just the word, he receives maturity and ministry in Christ. So, this church is not just to teach you who you are, okay, then we also minister maturity to you in Christ. You're going to grow up. Then also ministry in Christ. Just Ephesians 4:11. It says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. It says for the perfecting of the saints, which is maturity in Christ. It says for the work of a ministry. So when a saint is being perfected, he's receiving the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. To the full knowledge of the Son of God. To the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness in Christ. Verse 14, that henceforth we be no longer children or babes tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and slight cunning craftiness of men whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So if you're really growing in Christ, you got to receive ministry in Christ. I'm growing spiritual. How do I know? I was saying this morning, you remember? I said, you know, it's so funny that some testimonies unbelievers have is just something you could have gotten without getting born again. That's just the plain truth. So how's this year been for you? So this year, I used to have contracts of 10 million, now I have 100 million. And you're not on Forbes list. Say, I used to have one Zazu suit. And now I wear, what's this guy that sold suits of millions? Amosu. You know him? You don't know him. He sold suits of 10 million naira, 20 million naira. He said, I have a 20 million naira suit. And you discover that there are people who don't believe in Jesus that wear it as well. Alright, so, now I'm not saying God didn't bless them, but I'm saying that you're born again. Your testimonies should show growth. It's not about you now, it's about how much of a blessing you are now. How many people say, thank God, last year, I had four people I brought to the Lord. He said, but this year, I have 20. And it says 15 of them are growing and they are serving the Lord. I want to see people say, well, last year I only gave 100,000 to the gospel. But now I've given 1 million naira to the gospel. Not last year I had 100,000 in my pocket, now I have 1 million in my pocket. Now I'm talking about that. What you gave. Alright, I say, well, you know, last year, you know, I struggled to pray 1 hour. Now I do vigils every week. You know, things like that. You know, it shows you're growing up. You know, not feasting on earthly things and then getting so excited. Praise the Lord. Okay, so just also look at some folks. I was sharing this with someone just a couple of minutes before church, and I said, do you know that praying for things is not in the epistles? Next year, I'm going to talk about prosperity in January. Now I'm going to talk about healing, same month. Praise God. In redemption. You want to hear it? You should hear it. Healing. Because there's some mistaught things about it. And I'm going to show you from the Word. Amen. And I said that there's no prayer for things in the epistles. Is it an omission? No, it's not an omission. It's because it's now redemption. Hallelujah. So we're going to see that. So you discover that, you know, growth in Christ is when you are actually serving people. I've said that many times from the Word. So Jesus is telling disciples, you're going to pray. And I said, look at Jesus. He is the Word of God, right? That became flesh, John's Gospel 1:14. Is God manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. Okay? Is God who became a man, Philippians 2:6-8. But you know what? We just read many times, he was praying as he was being baptized, Luke's Gospel 3:21. As Jesus, he has a miracle meeting. You know, I've been the very first time I saw a blind eye open, it was 20 years ago. About 20 years ago. And I remember when I had miracles and signs and wonders, I sat down, I felt, who is Benny Hinn? I said, if he says good morning, Holy Spirit, I'll say good afternoon, Holy Spirit. Because I'm as anointed. I felt cool. You know, after a miracle meeting, you say, then all the folks will look up to you like, oh, you are second Christ. And then give you coke. You say, yeah, God bless you. And Jesus, done with the miracle meeting, he withdraws himself to pray.
I thought you prayed before the miracle meeting. The way you see the miracles, you eat.
No. He prays before the miracle meeting. He prays after the miracle meeting. Because prayer is fellowship. Hallelujah. Prayer is fellowship. Prayer is not about you. It's about fellowship with God. And I told you, I said, imagine, what was Jesus praying about? A new job? Or wife? Or what? About his enemies? He's saying, every enemy from the house of Joseph. That's my father's household. I curse you now. Die, 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 die. All night. Or Jesus is praying by the economy of Jerusalem. He's saying, no matter what will happen in the jungle, the lion will never eat grass. Prayer point. Something is wrong with you. Lion will never eat grass. Can you imagine? So only for asking of praying, no matter what happens in the jungle. I look at those things, I just laugh. When I see Christians repost them, I say, is this where you are in Christ? Don't you have something that says no? Is it everything that you receive? You don't have a no in your spirit. I say yes. Oh yes. Imagine Jesus is, what was Jesus fellowshipping with God about? About his will and purpose on earth. He wasn't praying about things. Jesus was praying about people. Did you discover that? John 17. He wasn't praying about things. He was praying about people. And so he tells us in Matthew's Gospel chapter 5, 44. He says, you pray for those who persecute you. Alright, because I'm saying, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Okay, I love you. He didn't say tell them you love them. He says, you do good. He says, you give them things, then you also pray. Because we're used to people talking, I love you. Romantic lines. You have a husband that doesn't pray. You become a prayer. My husband doesn't pray, boys. He's romantic. Very romantic. Imagine you're dying in sickness and he's saying, no matter what happens, I'll always love you. You're about to die. He's saying, look, even in the grave, darling, I'm going to love you in Jesus' name. Because he can't pray. You get it? So you go get it right. Prayer was about things, no, or about people for Jesus. He's Jesus, the Word became flesh. And he's praying like he's not God that became a man. He's praying like he's a man that's running after God. But he has fellowship. And we said there are three things you must consider about prayer. Number one, prayer is an instruction. It is not an advice. So when you are not praying or living a life of prayer, you're living in sin. Ask your neighbor, say, are you living in sin? Why are you not bold to ask your neighbor? Because prayer is not an instruction. No, sorry, it's not an advice. It's an instruction. Praying always. Ephesians 6:18. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Men ought to always pray and not faint. Luke's Gospel 18:1. So you got to pray. So, as Jesus always praying. Always praying. In Luke's Gospel 22:41 and 44, he is Jesus. His face is on the floor. Here's Jesus kneeling down. In 44, Luke's Gospel 22, he's sweating and blood comes out of his body. You know, he's always praying, blood comes out of his body. Attack, attack. He's been attacked. In Africa, we like the word attack. Because we grew up under a very funny culture where people worship idols. And you see some Christian meetings today. The only difference between native doctors and those meetings is what they say. Native doctor says, what do you want? He says, bring the head of a goat. Bring this one. Bring that one. And as you're talking, he says, there's somebody in your family who is doing your grandfather and then doing you. And then he takes something from you. You go to church, they say, bring your seed. You understand? Same thing. So you go to church, they say, are you barren? Are you depressed? Are you looking for visa? Admission? Come. Tonight is your night. Then the doctor says, barren? Same thing. He doesn't just mention you. Hallelujah. You be careful. Praise the name of Jesus. Alright, I don't want to major on that. We're talking about prayer. So, you know, Jesus was on his face. So we saw attitudes of prayer. He was on his face. That is, his face was to the floor. Hallelujah. Let's try and do that. Let's see. How does it mean for you to be on your face? Do it. Come on, do it. Come on, you're like, God, Jesus, come on. You do like this. Some of you have never done it before. So your body is so heavy. How many of you have prayed like this before? I didn't ask you to kneel, but I said, yo, your face, your face, your face. Your face. At least obey God one time this week. Now stand up. Prayer by precept and by what? Example. Have you ever prayed like this before? When I was tired. I was so tired I had to fall down. You know. See, Jesus prayed just like that. Jesus also knelt down when he was praying. Kneel down, let's see. What does it mean to kneel? Kneel down, like, yeah, he knelt. Now, he didn't kneel down because he was tired. There's some folks have that posture. They first of all lean on the wall, and they kneel down, and they go down, down, down to the lowest part of the earth. Stand up. All right. Jesus also has sweat all over his body. You hardly can sweat in the AC. I don't like a church without air conditioners. Why? We're in the 21st century now. I agree. But there are no 21st century demons. They've all been around for so long. They saw through modernization. We're around before you. Very experienced guys. So they like you the way you are. Prayerless, powerless, stupid. Plain truth. Hallelujah. So Jesus was sweating. Amen. You know some folks who rather sweat doing praise and worship? Come on. Someone told me at church. I was in the Bible years back. He said, I like the style of worship in this church. We lift our hands and all those things. And we sing. He said, but sir, I like to shake my body. I would like to remove my shirt. And sweat. I said, not this church. But he won't attend prayer meetings to sweat. That's where we sweat. Prayer meetings, I pray to God personally. They praise him personally too. Since it's all personal. So Jesus is here sweating, praying. And you have prayed for how long? No sweating. Because you're not involved in the prayer. All the motions of prayers from the prayer leader. Pray! You are saying, okay. Okay. Okay, it's good to pray. I will try. Listen, folks, you're in prayer meetings and they are looking at everybody. They can start out in tongues, then other tongues. Then string tongues. Then tongues of angels. Later tongues of demons. There you go. And they're like under their breath saying, what's all this? What's all this? You know, Jesus is here. He's praying. And you know something? Prayer is fellowship with God. Prayer is ministry. If you know what happens when you pray, you will pray. John Wesley said this. I said this in the first service. He said it appears like God will do nothing until we pray. No, Jesus did say that. He says, before you ask anything, your Father knows what you need. But I've got to ask anyway. Hallelujah. So, you know, So prayer is fellowship with God. It's engaging in God's will and purposes in the earth. Alright. Zechariah 12 and 10. There's a prophecy in there. Zechariah 12 and 10. Zechariah 12 and 10. The prophecy in there. And all those prophecies are fulfilled in the church. Zechariah 12 and 10 says, "And I'll pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem." Just the same thing he says in Joel 2:28. He says, "The spirit of grace and supplication." The spirit of grace and the spirit of prayer. So there's a spirit of prayer available in the church today. The spirit of God. Spirit of prayer. In the church. They are pour out the spirit of grace and supplication. Where a man is petitioning God to do the possible things. To do the impossible things, I mean. The spirit of grace and supplication upon the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We pray. So there's something called travailing in prayer. Where you are travailing in prayer. Where there's a, I'll say in the first service, your emotions are affected in prayer. Your emotions are involved in prayer. That's why Jesus will cry. That's why I have tears. That's why Jesus will scream and shout. He was screaming and shouting in prayer. The Bible says loud cries. People heard him. Sometimes I'm crying, but nobody's hearing you. They heard Jesus in the bush. He was crying. They heard his voice. How do you think they recorded his prayer? Because he was shouting. He was praying. They were hearing what he was saying. Loud prayer. So you know every prayer that is quiet. There's sometimes you're praying and you go loud. How do you pray like that? You start at low tone. You just went loud on your own. Now I'm not talking about you thought about the problem you were facing and then you went loud. You increase the volume straight. Ah! That kind of stuff, like, God, I can't do that though. No, never, never. So you saw sack later in your imagination. Never. Oh, my father, father, father. That kind of stuff. I'm saying, oh, Holy Ghost inspired. You know, you just have your emotions are involved in what you're saying. You're releasing emotions in the place of prayer. There's travailing in prayer. Where you pray. I remember one time I went for a prayer service and a prayer conference and I came back. And as I was just sharing, something about prayer is that, you know, every believer will respond positively to prayer. I was just sharing about prayer. It was around 4 p.m. in the evening. And I was sharing about prayer. It was in a classroom. And by the time I was done, everybody was on the floor. And we were praying. We prayed till about 10 p.m. We're just praying. About what? We don't know. But we're praying. And we're in contact with the Father. Who are just praying? Some were in tears. About what? I don't know. Still don't know what we're praying for now. But I can see the results. Hallelujah. See that? So there's travailing in prayer. Sometimes it comes in the form of burdens. How many of you sense sometimes in your spirit? Wake up and pray. You just pray. Just praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. And you sense like a weight on your heart. I've never seen that before. Like as a weight on your heart. Like something just on your heart to pray. And you're just praying. And you're just praying. I'm not saying you heard the news and you were sad and you were praying. Something from your spirit. You're just praying. And you're just praying. You're led by the Spirit of God, okay? So you're just praying. And you're just praying out the will of God. Praying out the plans and purposes of God. And you're travailing like you're, almost like you're having a battle somewhere. Have you ever seen that before? Like you're having a battle with something. Have you ever seen that before in your life? Like you're pulling something through. You're pulling something through. Just like Jesus did. You're pulling something. Paul says, "I travailed back till Christ be formed in you," Galatians 4:19. Sometimes you're praying for people. "Till Christ be formed in you." I said Galatians 4:19. "Till Christ be formed in you." You're just travailing back. And sometimes you, in my own experience, I mean, I didn't know what it was until I heard Brother Higgins say it. And I saw that sometimes I'll be praying and I'll just sense sorrow from nowhere. I'm happy. I just sense sorrow. I'm praying for, that means I'm identifying with someone somewhere. Okay? But sometimes I just feel like I'm pushing something out. I'm pushing something through. I didn't know. I was praying like that until I read his book. But when I read his book, then I got clarity. That you see, in the place of prayer, we are inspired by the Spirit of God to take the place of people we're praying for. So it's as though they're the ones doing the prayer. So we're praying and then we're travailing. Almost like you're pulling through something. You're pulling through something. And you're praying. And you're praying. Sometimes it takes hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. That Higgins mentioned about the time there was this move of the Spirit in America. And he said the Lord just told him to start praying. And he started praying. And he was praying, waiting on the Lord every day, several hours, 18 hours. Sometimes you just pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And he prayed for a long time. I always tell ministers, from my experience and what I know, if you're going to start work, even if it's a cell or house fellowship or a campus fellowship, spend at least 1.5 years praying every day consistently. If you can do it, at least alternate days, all night, and just pray and pray. Remember, very early in ministry when I started, I prayed 2 years like that. And I did sometimes 90 days fasting, 60 days, 180 days. And I was just praying and praying all night and just praying. I remember I used to sleep in Federal Mass Transit then. I would sleep in buses. You get it? Just in buses. I won't sleep at night. I just would stay up late and pray and pray and pray and pray. Pray about what? I wasn't praying about a wife. I wasn't praying about money. Though I love money. Like money. You still like money, don't you? Why is it in your pocket if you don't like it? Pray. I was just praying out, just learning the heart of prayer, getting to learn the heart of prayer. You can't learn prayer in church service by teaching. Oh, so, yeah, got that. No, that's not prayer. Oh. You don't respond to prayer by confession; it's by prayer. You learn prayer in the prayer meeting. You put it to practice. Hallelujah. Some guys, when you are learning about prayer, think, oh, I'm already praying in my mind. No. You're going to pray. So I take hours. So I tell ministers, I say, when you want to start out, 18 months at least. Just my observation. 2 years, 3 years, you just spend time and pray. I've heard preachers, you know, say sometimes they take 3 years. They just, every day, vigils. They'll pray and pray and pray. And sometimes you're travailing. And travailing. And sometimes we think, oh, I thank God. I don't know how this happened. No, years back, you made it happen. You made it happen. The Spirit of God took hold together with you and made it happen years back before anything happened. So you pray out God's plans and purposes and provisions. Sometimes you're travailing. And travailing in prayer. Just like Jesus, just like the apostles. You're travailing. Amen. I said amen. So, it's not every prayer that has the same thing. Sometimes in the service, the 15 minutes before the service, or 30 minutes, it's okay. But when you get to the point of travailing, sometimes you take off your shoes. Have you seen that before? That's your nice jacket, you take it off. You lose your tie. After 6 hours of prayer, your tie is still neat. Something's wrong somewhere. Somebody should be praying for you. you got everything mixed up. And then you were praying. Remember someone came for a World Changers Conference and he came with a suit. I said, what do you think you're coming to? He said, for the Minister's Conference. I said, oh. Very first night. We welcomed him. And we prayed to the next day. And he ran away. I said, ah. Thought the Minister's Conference. Yeah. Prayer ministers. Amen. I went for a prayer conference like that. I took my notes and my translations, and they shared for 30 minutes, and we prayed for 3 days.
I said, it's supposed to be a teaching. Oh, it's a prayer service. You pray by opening your mouth, not by opening your ears. Go pray.
Praise God.
Amen.
So you see, there's travailing in prayer. Sometimes you just want to hold something like you're holding something. Praise God. I've seen that before. You're holding something and you just pray. And pray. Hallelujah. Now I tell you, so much power is in prayer. So much power. When you see a man bow before the devil and demons, it's not because he's just well taught in his church. It's because he has prayed well. He has prayed well. So he's bold. Just bold. I can tell you my life. I'm just bolder when I pray. I feel like, bring it on. Bring it on. You know, you're bold. When you find a Christian worrying and run up the helter skelter, he's not praying. No doubt about that. He's not praying. Lady will tell him about husband. I said, if you spend more time praying for him than talking about him, maybe you'll change.
She can't just pray.
I said, now you know the funny part about what you're doing. She said, what, sir? I can't change him.
I know. So why are you telling me?
Talk to the man that talk to the one who can change you.
Why me?
I'll just hear your gist. Now I said, what about husband you have? But when you pray, you make tremendous power available, dynamic in its walking. Are you listening? Come on, guys, are you listening? Just also, this is the spirit of grace and supplication. I'll talk about that before we close. So there should be periods of prayer. Periods of prayer in the day where you pray. Never spend a day without praying. I'm not saying, you know, those opening and closing prayer, not different from the one they pray when they want to play a football game. Seen that? Nigeria prays. Brazil may not pray. Spain may not pray. And their prayer is answered without praying. Something like that. Father, we commit the goal, Paul. When they shoot over the bar. Sometimes I wonder what they're praying about. It's a competition. So you just say, I pray, Pastor, I pray every day. Yes, I pray very, 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 very well every day. How do you pray? I just say, Father, I thank you for last night. I didn't die. I thank you, I'm awake now. Oh, Father, I give you praise. Oh, Jehovah is your name. Jehovah is your name. Mighty warrior. Great in battle. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this day. I give you praises ahead of time. If I confess my sins before the day starts. Oh, Father, I give you glory and honor. Thank you, Father. Help me throughout the day. So that at the end of the day, I will have all the full course to give praises to your holy name. Jesus, I know it's just like saying, some have food but cannot eat. Some can eat but have no food. We have mouth and we can't eat. And we have spoon too. You know, because you just done nothing. Imagine if that was the way Jesus prayed. He wouldn't have died. Where do you think he got all the courage from? He was a man. All the boldness was in the place of prayer. He wasn't bold because he was anointed. He was bold because he prayed. Courage and the strength will come when you pray. So seasons of prayer in the morning. I said last week that a Christian, born again now, you must have a day, a time in the day, at least 1 hour, that you spend praying. At least 1 hour every day. Because the Bible says pray without ceasing. And pray always. Hallelujah. If someone tells you, if your doctor tells you, pray, eat always. You go to the doctor and the doctor says, ensure you eat always. You ask the doctor, what day of the week do you mean? You just know it means every day, right? You just every day. At least, someone say, I eat at least 3 times a day, at least. You know, we have 3 square meals. Some guys have 6 circle meals. They go around like, so you say, eat always. You don't say, when is it convenient during the week? I'm very busy. No, you eat always, you mean at least every day. So if you hear pray always, why are you thinking it doesn't have to be every day? No, it's actually every day. Pray every day. And Jesus says, tarry for at least 1 hour. Something wrong with you? And then, you know, after saying all that, and he's going, Chelsea. That's a Nigerian name, Chelsea. Chelsea! You didn't want to game for 90 minutes? You know, say, how can I game in 90 minutes? 90 minutes! Oh! He said, bro, what are you doing now? Why are they playing 90 minutes? And they want to kill us. So we're watching the game. They want to kill us. I saw that maybe they want to kill us. You say, pray for 90 minutes. They want to kill me. You need something examined in your head. And they'll give you nothing when you watch games. Sometimes you just fight yourself. Sometimes I watch some folks who they say, no, no, no. That's not speak evil. And then I said, wait, what's all this for? And he said, no, 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 no. And the guys who played the game exchange their jerseys and they're joking. And they're enemies. And you're losing your voice. Aren't you possessed? You did nothing by watching the game. 90 minutes? You even watch the replay? But when you pray, you will see power. Something will happen. Something will change. I say, prayer changes things. Prayer changes people, and prayer changes you. There is no man full of prayer that is not bold. You are bold when you pray. Remember the story of Charles G. Finney? He had those two folks, John Hyde. John Hyde was a man called Prince Hyde. He prayed so much. It was said. Sometimes he prayed in the room and his breath stained the walls. In fact, it is said that he was in Father Nash. He died praying. You get the point? He prayed. He died praying. Always praying. And they said, they'll go ahead before crusades. And they'll be there 2 weeks, hire a room. And then they'll tell the landlord, please give us the, or people in the area, give us a list of the most dreaded sinners in this place. And they'll take their names up. And they'll pray, say, we want the one that is the most deadly, that people cannot talk to. That's the one we're going to take up and pray. And then they'll stay in the place of prayer. And they'll pray. For one time, one of the landlords, owner of the house, one day they didn't come out for 1 week. And he wondered, thought they were dead. So he would throw food. This guy is still alive. So he had to get some folks to break down the door. And he saw them bowed over, sweating in prayer. So Rupert Maturi said, he said the people saw Charles Finney. He said the demons saw John Hyde. Hallelujah. They saw him. Because he travailed in prayer. There's much power when we pray. Imagine praying every day 1 hour at least for 1 year. Imagine. How many of you have prayed and you've seen results in the lives of people? Seen that? Let me see. Imagine if you prayed like that every day. How many things would change? For every failure of ministers and churches is a failure of a praying church, a non-praying church. If we will pray more, more people will be stable in the Lord. More people will serve the Lord. If you will pray more. Jesus says, pray for your enemies. In Matthew 9, 37 and 38, he says, pray for laborers to be sent to the harvest. Let me show you something. Luke 22, 31. Are you following this? Luke 22, 31. Something so particular here. Jesus turns to Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Wow. I mean, there was some, that means in the place of prayer, Jesus found out something. Listen carefully. Let me say something to you. What Jesus said here, Satan had not thought about it. Hallelujah. Satan is not a long-term planner. He's just an angel. But in the place of prayer, you see the possibilities of prayer where you tap into the omniscience of God. It's as though you are functioning in the attributes of God. You can see things before people imagine them to happen. It says Satan desires to sift you. Say, boy, I have prayed for you. Hallelujah. How many of you want to have people say this to you? I will do this for you. I'll pray for you. How many of you want to have that? Come on. You don't want to have anybody that? Now, how many of you want to be like that to someone? I prayed for you. I prayed for you that thy faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. Hallelujah. Strengthen your brethren. See the possibilities of prayer. You can prevent things from happening. John 17:9. Jesus, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So Jesus was praying for his disciples, those he teaches the word, or he taught the word. And we have scripture for that in the epistles, Ephesians 6:18-19. Ephesians 6:19 says, pray for us. Paul said that. In 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2, you know, he says, pray for us in verse 1, that the word of God may have a free course and be glorified even as it is with you. You say, oh, if the word of God is not growing you, it means you are not anointed enough. No. We are working together. Hallelujah. He says, pray for us. Who are the us? We are the pastors and leaders. He says, pray for us. Not just that. Verse 2, he says, pray for us that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Sometimes we see ministers and pastors being eaten up by the press. And we say, You see? If this message is of God, why would they be saying, no, that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. We can preserve ministers and ministries and people's lives if we can pray for them. Like I shared with you a couple of weeks back, your pastor's life and ministry is in your hands. It's in your prayer life. Paul said that. Hebrews 13:18, look at that one. He says, pray for us. That's the writer of Hebrews now. He says, pray for us. For we trust that we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Can you imagine? He says, so that we will live honestly. That's the ministers. He says, pray for us. What shouldn't we pray about? Look at that. That we will live honestly.
Say, we want to. We want to do right. We want to be good. We want to be good examples. But then, we're not trusting in ourselves. Pray for us. So, you have so many things you can pray for on a daily basis. Minus praying for a recharge card. Father, may somebody load my phone today. Load it! Load it! In Jesus' name. Why is everything about you? Everything. My name is Gimme. I'll take all you give me. Gimme. No. Pray for people. Are there people, I'm going to ask you a question right now. Are there people in your life who need your prayer life? Ask yourself. There are. Your pastors and leaders just read that. Your family. Hallelujah. Your family. Both spiritual and natural. They should be in your prayer life. Are you listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? Some of you will learn prayer when you have children. And then you'll be praying all sorts of prayer, taking the picture all over the place. This is picture, sir. This is picture. If I should have bring the one when he was a baby. How you carry pictures all over the place? The point of contact is an African thing. I don't want to go into that. Pray for your church. Pray for your disciples. Sir, what's disciples? Eh? How can you be a Christian? And there's nobody you are helping to grow spiritually. We pray. That means you can have a prayer list, right? And put people's names there. So, whatever days you pick, for each person, you lift their lives up before the Lord. And you are praying. People who are prayerful, oftentimes they walk in love. You cannot speak evil of someone you are praying for. It's almost impossible. You lift their lives up. Father, I lift up my pastor before you. My dad, my mom, my sister, my brother. I pray for them. You pray for them in tongues. You pray for them in the spirit. Hallelujah. You pray for the nation of Nigeria. I personally do not pray for economies of the country. I've never done it. The only thing I pray for in Nigeria, that the word of God will grow mightily. And I pray for pastors and ministers, that they'll be equipped to take the gospel around the world. That's what I pray for. Hallelujah. Pray for that. Amen. Are you there? What else? Create time for people in your day. Create time for other people. Some of us, the schedule of our lives is so much for us and us alone. And I want to say this quickly. There is no believer that is entitled to have private life. And I'll tell you what I mean. First and foremost, you know you must be an example to everybody. Aware of that? Secondly, you know you must be hospitable to everybody. You must pray for people. You must give to people. So whatever privacy you have must be defined with service. You must serve people. It's all about you. Why is your life all about you? Is everything about you? Pray for people. Hallelujah. I said here, yeah. I said you do never backbite those you pray for. You never speak evil of those you pray for. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I tell some of our pastors, when some things happen, we want to take decisions. Say, guys, you know what? Let's just pray. Let's just pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Let's just pray in the spirit. Because there's some things that I can't fathom in my mind. I'm limited to understand. I'm just a man. But when I get in the place of prayer, I team up with the Spirit of God. And we enter into the possibilities of prayer. Then things can happen. Things can happen. Remember, I was in a town years back. And he told me that there was just one Pentecostal church.
And I said, it's going to change. And I learned from Archbishop Idahosa. He told us when we went to Benin, when it got to Benin, that the whole place was full of idolatry. He said, it will pray around Benin daily. So I took that step. So I'll pray sometimes in the sun, tired. Sometimes I'll pray 18 hours, 20 hours. I'll just be praying and praying until we start establishing fellowships and fellowships and fellowships and churches. And today the whole place is filled with churches. As I was praying, I now met people. I met one guy. Funnily, I met him while I was trying to fetch water. And then we began to walk together in ministry. So as I was praying, I was arranging circumstances. Meeting people, seeing people, things would just happen. And then we're walking together and walking together. And things began to happen because we spent time to pray. Remember, we want to have a program. So I said, how do we plan? I said, we're going to take 30 days to fast and pray. So, for 3-day meeting? I said, yeah. 3 days can change people's lives for 30 years. If we can pray for 30 days. Hallelujah. The possibilities of prayer. Pray for people. You know, Paul said to Timothy, says, stir up the gift of God that is in you. 2 Timothy 1:6. You know, you can stir up prayer. You can stir up prayer. Someone say, I've never prayed like this before in my life. You can stir up prayer. How? Very simple. You know, one of the greatest influences, one of the greatest ways to be influenced is the right association. You go to the right place. Go to where people are praying. You stir up the gift of prayer. How many of you started having a vibrant prayer life by going for a prayer meeting? Raise your hand, let me see. Good. So if you have disciples, you want them to pray, you take them for a prayer meeting. A vibrant prayer life. You take them to pray. They go to pray. If you get around people who pray, you will stir up the gift of prayer. Because he said, I will pour out the spirit of grace and supplication. Then stir up prayer. Go to right prayer. I'm not talking about those who pray selfish prayers. Though. And they are praying all sorts of prayer. And they say, 10 prayer points. I said, number one prayer is that prayer is called, how can I remain like this? Number two prayer, I will not leave Lagos empty handed. Have you seen that before? Number three prayer, point and kill. Number four prayer, I said that one, give me a husband or I die. Huh? Or I die? Okay, die first. Those who are praying for the nations. Hallelujah. Red Bonkey once had a woman who decided not to get married. And she dedicated her entire life to Red Bonkey Ministries. She's still not married anyway. And she was praying. She just prays. That's all she does. She dedicates her life to the ministries. And she prays for them. Just prays. Imagine the kind of reward she's going to have. She's not rich. Amen. You know, nobody will ever give you advance for being prayerful. I like your prayer life. Take a key. Oh, nobody will do that. But great is your reward for the lives that you have changed. I know there are people who prayed for me. They may not tell me, but they prayed for me. I know people who are praying for me. Sometimes you think those who are on the stage are those doing the work. Now, there are some folks just quietly. They are not telling you, I'll be praying for you. Oftentimes they are not doing anything. Alright. But they are praying for you. They see you and they say, wow, this gift of God must reach the world. And they are praying for you. They are praying for you. When they hear there's any challenge to your ministry, your life, or your finances, or your family, they get down on their knees again. And they are praying. Such men are great in the sight of God. Very great. So, listen. You can stir up prayer. Go to where people pray. Go to where they pray. You know, evil communication corrupts good manners. If you walk with a prayerless Christian, you will eventually become prayerless. You eventually become prayerless. Because there is no neutral position. You had a change. Alright. That's what's going to happen. prayerless Christian. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you walk with a prayerless Christian, it will corrupt your own prayerfulness. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. God is no more. Evil communication corrupts good manners. So prayerlessness can corrupt prayerfulness. I don't relate with ministers who are not prayerful. I heard a man say this. He said he doesn't really pray, that he does more thinking. And I said, I'm not going to listen to you again. So simple. Never. I'm not going to listen to you. If you like, have a church, right, as big as Emirates Stadium. That's your business. It shows the kind of crowd you're gathering. Say, no, I'm not going to be your friend. Because I was brought up with a heart of prayer. The very first day I got saved, in the evening, they led me to pray for 2 hours. New convert in Christ. By the next week, vigil. New convert in Christ. And they didn't have a special room for us new converts. Everybody was praying. And we had some brethren that were brethren. And they'll come and hold your hand when you're doing like this. Is this a new life in Christ? Because that was the book I first read when I got saved by Paul Ginodo. I've seen it before, some of you. You have new life in Christ. Now you have things like 7 keys for breakthrough. Help my help pray. Your prayer. But I'm so glad. Hallelujah. Anyone who kneel before God will stand before man. Hallelujah. He'll be bold. Praise the Lord. Some of you say, well, I don't think I'm called to ministry because you don't have a prayer life. You can't be prayerful and not be called to ministry. You cannot be. How? Hallelujah. You engage prayer for praying for people for 10 hours and in your heart you will not see a burden to preach the gospel. How? Well, your life is filled with selfishness. It's all about you. Watch the friends you keep. Want to know how to pray? Get around people who pray. There's a brother like that. He's in America now. In fact, he's an American now. He had this thing. We used to pray. So we had this prayer chain. So we said we're going to pray for 24 hours 1 week. That means that we're going to pray for 168 hours. So we had a team. So you will, like a relay, you will do 3 hours and pass on to this person, and then we'll do it for 1 week. But this guy was such a dangerous kind of person. When he's about to pass his own baton across to you, he passes across to you and he stays there. And both of you pray your own 3 hours. And so, when the other person is joining, he still says you should follow. I said, Shadun. Because that was his nickname. I said, Shadun, how big my room? He said, man of God, we have to pray. I know it's very like, you know, also busy. We have to pray. I said, I don't want to pray close to Shadun again. Because his name is Shadi, because I call him Shadu. We have to pray. Say, let's pray. Say, brother, we have to pray. I prayed my own. No, we have to pray. But such a person will stir up praying. Hallelujah. I always tell people, when I learned to pray too, I said, I was going to pray. So I was going to pray for 24 hours. Say, today is the day. I close my eyes. I'm going to pray. And I heard the call crow. And then someone that brought me and said, let me teach you what to do. I said, I'm really feeling bad. I'm seeing to be your pardonable sin. The guy said, calm down. You start with 30 minutes. 30 minutes? They start there. At least you didn't go beyond that the first time. Start with 30 minutes. Say the next day, go to 45. Say then 1 hour. Said if you can break the 2 to 3 hour mark, you have learned the heart of prayer. So I began to say 2 hours. I said, I'll be on Tuesday. I wish 2 hours. By the time I hit 2 hours, I didn't even know. I started praying in 3 hours. So I thanked the guy who helped me pray. We met in the conference later on. I was helping him pray. He wasn't really like this. I said, well, you helped me then. So I got him to pray. Amen. So you can stir up prayer. Hallelujah. I was saying, you can stir up prayer. You know, we have the Spirit of grace and supplication upon us. Amen. So we have the Spirit of grace and supplication upon us. Say, I have the Spirit of grace and supplication upon my life and my ministry. I lift up my voice and I will pray. I receive burdens to pray for people, to pray for nations, to pray for friends and family. I'm responsible in the place of prayer. I don't give up. I don't give in until I pray through. I'm a prayer man. I have a prayer ministry. I receive the Spirit of grace and supplication to travail in prayer, to prevail in prayer, and to make tremendous power available. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Let's just pray. You know, here's someone here. Let's just...